Chapter 19. Late evening shades turned the stones of Redwall Abbey to a dull crimson, the last rays of the sun sending slender slivers of ruby and gold from behind a purple-blue cloud bank. Beneath the ground, Cornflower sat holding baby Rollo as they watched the Formall and his team working expertly to remove the great foundation stone. They had bars, wedges and timber props, beside chisels and hauling ropes. The mole leader gave directions as he scuttled here and there surveying the job.
You may finish chiseling there, Rooter.
I do it, sir.
George, set the wedgings in. Gaffer and I'll slide these here greasy planks under. You, Rooter, set the ropes and hooks in stone. Steer clear, missus, and mind yon hinfant.
A large solid implement, which the moles called a girt paw, had been set up. It was a strange affair, resembling a sideways block and tackle. The busy mole work beasts attached the ropes to a big round tree trunk bobbin and began cranking a long stout beech handle. Baby Rollo gazed wide-eyed. He whispered to Winifred the otter.
What they doing?
Hush now, little un, and watch. See the slack's been taken up on those ropes the more they work that handle.
Gradually, the ropes tightened and began to creak and strain. The massive stone block moved a fraction, and its base was now resting on three flat, well-greased sycamore planks. The moles began shouting in an even chant.
Here she come, here she do, here she come, heave, mole crew.
The founder's stone began sliding out of the place where it had been set long ages ago. It moved at an angle, leaving Formall room to scurry in and jam two upright sections of green pine as props.
Look, Rollo, see? The big stone is moving.
Cornflower was almost dancing with excitement. Ants dashed this way and that, stone ground against stone. Rope hawsers creaked and groaned as the mole crew chanted their rock-moving song, with baby Rollo's gruff little voice singing in time with them. More props were brought up as the stone block slid ponderously forward, leaving a large square hole in the wall.
Cease and halt, moles. The job be done.
Formall's announcement set his crew to leaning and panting against the girt paw, their tongues lolling out as they passed a canteen of cider from one to another. The mole leader stood to one side and bowed low.
There it be, gentle beasts. Take thy torture and have a good viewing insides.
Smiling happily, Winifred and Cornflower congratulated the moles.
Well done, Formall. Thank you, team. You did work hard.
We could never have moved such a stone without you.
If a mole could have blushed, it would have been the Formall. He and his crew stood about awkwardly, kicking the loose earth with their blunt digging paws.
Her bless ye, ma'am. It were a nothing. Glad to be your service.
With Cornflower in the lead, they made their way through the hole. The torch was guttering low. Winifred bade them stand still. Moving around the walls, the otter found dried brushwood torches in rusting metal sconces. She touched each one with her own torch as she passed, and she soon had the whole place illuminated. It was a large, square rock chamber with an earthen floor. In one corner, there was a massive anthill reaching halfway up the wall. They skirted it, taking care not to disturb the little folk. Cornflower's breath caught in her throat at the sight that confronted them. It was a beautiful red stone statue of a wise old mouse sitting on a simple chair of wrought stone, one paw upraised, the other holding open a stone book which lay in her lap.